Are you tired? Are you frequently in a state of fatigue? It might surprise you to learn that your cellular health begins to decline as early as 25 years of age. As you age, your cell membranes start to become like Swiss cheese. This cellular damage is the primary cause of biological aging. It could be the root of your fatigue. But there's a breakthrough supplement that's scientifically proven to repair and renew your body's cells. NT-Factor Lipids. NT-Factor Lipids are identical to the phospholipids found in your cellular membranes. NT-Factor is the only solution proven and published in medical journals to repair those dead spots in the membranes. If you're older, it can give you back the vitality, focus, and cognitive function of people half your age. And if you're young, this is the tool to optimize your energy production. I've been using NT-Factor for years and prescribe it for my patients. Learn more about the NT-Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're talking about EMFs and the hazards that they pose to us. Electromagnetic fields, they surround us. We have cell phones, we have cell phone towers, we have earbuds, we have wireless routers that surround us. And so we're bathed in these EMFs. And it's controversial. Because the industry, which, by the way, is if not a multi-trillion-dollar industry, it's certainly hundreds of billions of dollars, because all the electronic devices, the internet, the companies that provide us with access to online resources, they are certainly an economic powerhouse. The latest, though, on this controversy is a large World Health Organization-backed study, which looks at the risk posed by cell phones, earbuds, and cell towers. And what they found, basically, is they exonerated these devices. They found that there is, in effect, very little, if any, risk. I'm just going to read a little bit from the studies. They found that for mobile phone use, there was moderate certainty evidence, and I'm quoting, that it likely does not increase the risk of brain cancer or a salivary gland tumors in adults, and it doesn't cause brain cancer in children. For cordless phone use, they say there was low certainty evidence that it may not increase the risk of brain cancer. The EMF exposure from broadcasting antennas or base stations, you know, some people live near these things. There was moderate certainty evidence that it likely does not increase childhood leukemia risk and low certainty evidence that it may not increase the risk of pediatric brain tumors. That's kind of funny language, though, kind of like low certainty evidence that it does not, but absence of proof is not necessarily proof of absence, as they say in science. And finally, for occupational EMF exposure, the guys who climb up on those antennas, you know, and service them, they're real close, or, you know, maybe people who work in radio stations, which I used to frequent. The verdict is that our EMF exposure may not increase the risk of brain cancer. What say you, Dr. Davis? Because I think, you know, you have extensive background in science. You know how to read a study. You know how to properly critique its methodology and the statistical analysis that's behind it. Why does the study not convince you that nothing's wrong here? There's nothing to see here, folks. Let's just move on.
I think you have to ask who's paying these people. And you have to recognize that the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection is a cartel, and it's been called a cartel by the European Union investigation of this organization that was published some years ago, and as well as by Dr. Joel Moskowitz of Berkeley and Dr. Ronald Melnick, formerly a senior scientist with the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Moskowitz has a detailed critique of the WHO study, and he starts out with pointing out the bias of the people writing the review. And let me just say, it's difficult to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on his not understanding.
Right. It's like, for example, the people who write the dietary guidelines are often paid off by pharmaceutical industry or big food. So they're often tainted with bias towards one or another proposition.
If you'd like to talk about why the American Diabetes Association accepts money from the sugar industry, we can do that another time.
Okay, that's a whole different, but it's illustrative of the
cartel as well.
It's just illustrative of the pervasive influence that big business has on science. You know, they say follow the science. Well, unfortunately, sometimes you have to look at the underlying motives behind studies. Follow the money, basically.
Follow the money. Okay. And so I was naive in the beginning when I started in this about 15 years ago, and I thought all we needed to do was explain the science. And that's what I did with my boss, who was a brilliant man, Dr. Ronald Herbermann. And that's why he, in 2007, issued a warning to the 3,000 physicians and scientists then working with us at the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute that nobody should keep a phone on their body. But as to this WHO-issued statement, the actual statement is a lot milder than the headlines would have you say. And the actual statement, all right, does not say definitively these things are safe, because safety is not an assured thing. But before we get into the details of that, I want to make sure you understand that there is an international commission on the biological effects of electromagnetic fields that is independent, does involve independent scientists from all over the world. And I would urge you to have someone from that group talk about this, notably Dr. Moskowitz himself, who has spent some time developing this critique, or Paul Eroux, a professor in an electrical engineering department as well. They have called, and I concur, that that paper should be retracted. It is not what it purports to be. It is not an unbiased review. In fact, it's a biased review. Why do I say that? Because they cherry-picked the studies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
10,000 studies that were relevant. They picked a few hundred.
Yeah, this is the danger in what is called a meta-analysis. In other words, if there's like a controversy, like some study says it's good, some studies say it's bad, they do what's called a meta-analysis. Then they aggregate it. They use statistical manipulation to show the weight of the evidence is here or there. But this is very vulnerable to precisely what you're saying, cherry-picking to arrive at a preordained conclusion.
And let me be very clear. When we study any compound in the environment or a drug, we test it in animals, right? We do animal testing in order to predict effects in humans. And in the case of environmental chemicals, prevent those effects. And in the case of drugs, the entire pharmaceutical industry depends on animal research. That's why we do it, right? What these authors have done is to take only human studies, ignoring totally the experimental research, like the National Toxicology Program, like studies from the Ramazzini Institute in Italy. They ignore that work totally and instead focus on a handful of studies that they picked, some of which are incredibly questionable. Let me give you one example.
Sure.
They use a study called the Million Women Study, which is actually fewer than a million women, was started in 1996 to study postmenopausal estrogens and breast cancer. They asked those women at two times, do you use a phone? Period. And then they went back and saw, did they have an increase in brain cancer? That's ridiculous.
So let me just interject there, because I understand where you're going with this. When you design a study, you design a study to study one thing in particular. It is sneaky Pete to take that study and then come to a secondary conclusion that was not part of the original research design. That is a fundamental flaw in research. Am I on the right track?
Correct. Absolutely. Very well said. And I thank you for that concise statement, because that's exactly what we're dealing with here. In the case of brain cancer, it's a rare cancer, unfortunately.
from the standpoint of study, from the standpoint of study, right. Fortunately, but unfortunately, yeah.
Right. 7 per 100,000. Okay. So you study a group of 1 million. That's not large enough.
That's not large enough.
And you would need to study a group of several million for several decades.
Yes.
And that's not possible in the modern world to do that.
It's well, you'd have to have a control population who is like the control population. And so how would you ask? You'd have to say 10 million people never use an electronic device. I don't know. Maybe there's I don't think there are that many Amish people in Pennsylvania. We can see the ridiculousness of that proposition.
Yes. And I think that it's not possible methodologically to do that. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, to go back to the animal studies, think about
that's easier. That's easier because they have shorter lifespans. And in effect, we can do things, frankly, that you might be concerned about exposing human population to a cruel and unusual circumstance.
Right. In 2 years of a mouse life, approximates about 70 plus years of human life.
Right. They only live like 2 years plus. That's it.
That's it. Okay. And in the studies that have been done in the United States and in Italy, and there's a difference between the two, they found the following. Every agent that we know for sure causes cancer in people, like asbestos and vinyl chloride and benzene, will produce it in animals when adequately studied. Every agent. So ignoring animal studies that find effects, that find damage to DNA, that find impairment of the heart, that's what was showed up in the National Toxicology Program, not just tumors that were very rare of the brain and tumors inside a nerve cell tumors, but damage to the heart, damage to the brain. That showed up in those studies. And other experimental studies that I published with my colleagues from Samsun at Andakuz Mayuz University in Turkey, where I'm visiting professor of medicine, we have shown that prenatally exposing animals will produce offspring with more brain damage and fewer brain cells.
Mm-hmm. And that's a particularly critical time for development. So, you know, having a laptop on your lap, you know, while you're pregnant mom is a super bad idea.
Exactly. Or having lab techs running around with monitors all over their pregnant, beautiful pregnant bellies is also a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we have shown experimental evidence that prenatally exposed animals can be damaged. Our chairman of our board, Professor Hugh Taylor from Yale Medical School, has shown that when you expose animals prenatally, they develop more hyperactivity in the offspring. And this is one of the fastest growing problems we have. Half of all children are medicated in many schools now for hyperactivity. We're exposing our children to agents that are causing hyperactivity, and then we're drugging them as a consequence. It's a terrible situation.
So let's suppose best case scenario, which is that EMFs do not damage the chromosomes. They don't tear up your DNA. They don't even damage the cells. Okay, best case scenario. That would be the most optimistic scenario, but it's probably not even plausible. But the concern I have is that the brain and the body itself is an electrical system, and applying an external electromagnetic field close to where your brain works, close to where your heart works, because we know that the heart is actually governed by electrical signals, hence cardiac arrhythmias, hence cardioversion with electroshock. So, you know, AFib and so on. The concern is that having these fields too close to where electrical things happen in the body, you know, I think it was Walt Whitman who in, I think, the 1800s wrote the line, "I sing the body electric." The body is an electric system, and having all these electrical signals confusing our natural signals may not be salutary.
Well, amen, brother. Let me just give you the difference between life and death is not chemical. We have the same chemicals in us after death, but electrical. Our brains, the definition of death, as you know, is the cessation of electrical activity in the brain.
Correct.
And you're absolutely right, Dr. Hoffman. to point out the folly and the arrogance of presuming that we can take the body's natural pacemaker, our heart, and expose it, as men all over the world do, by putting it in their shirt pocket right over where their heart is. And we're seeing an increase in AFib. We're seeing apparently an increase in earlier stroke in younger people. We're seeing an increase in colorectal cancer in people under the age of 40 in every industrial country that we've looked at so far. And what are the causes of this? It's not obesity, not alone. That is a contributor, of course. But I believe, and I published an article on this as well in a peer-reviewed journal, that colorectal cancer cells are accelerated by exposure to cell phone radiation. That's been demonstrated and published. Mm-hmm. We see this increase in exposure in the lower abdomen. My colleagues in Brazil and I have shown through modeling that you do get higher exposure into the colon when you have a phone in your pocket, and you get much higher exposure into the testis as well. So we know you're getting exposed. We know that the body is electric, the heart and the brain. And you're right. For that reason alone, you ought to be prudent and not be putting yourself at that kind of risk.
Indeed.
But let me go back to the WHO study, because I think
there's more to unpack there. Yeah.
Yes. The study said nothing about children. It was totally silent about children.
Hmm.
And the CDC has reported that one of the fastest growing unexplained cancers in young children today is brain cancer.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And the ultimate tragedy, because despite advances in cancer treatment, brain cancer remains, one of the most challenging cancers to overcome.
And you can, as you know, treat cancer in children differently than adults, because you can zap them with much more radiation and give them much more high levels of chemotherapy drugs. So you can cure the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then 20 years later, they get secondary.
So a perfect example of that is, unfortunately, one of my good high school friends had a daughter who 33 years ago had brain cancer, and they gave her about a 20% chance of survival. Well, she got a ton of chemo. She got a ton of radiation. She had surgery, and she was fine. She actually then did well. She went on to college. She had a great academic career. But then slowly, inexorably, she began to develop seizures. She lost her brain capacity. By the time that I last talked to him, she had the mentality of a three-year-old, and she required constant care. Well, unfortunately, she just passed away at the age of 33. So yes, exactly as you point out, you can save these people, but unfortunately it takes a toll. Hopefully newer techniques will be more benign than the techniques used 25 years ago.
What I find most disappointing about the WHO report, because I know some of the authors, and I think of them as responsible people, is that they have adopted the assumption that their only effects we have to be concerned about are those that generate heat.
Right.
And we've known for decades that that's wrong. And there literally are thousands of studies showing this. And again, my colleagues at the International Commission on the Biological Effect of Electromagnetic Fields have demonstrated this and produced a number of papers on this subject. So the failure to look at animal studies is a major problem, major problem. We spend billions studying animals for pharmaceuticals. It takes $2 billion to develop one oncology drug.
Mm-hmm.
And much of that development starts with animal research. What arrogance is it to reject those animal studies when it comes to effects of cell phones?
The industry is being held to an entirely different standard than the safety threshold for introduction of, say, a new drug. Right. I really think so.
In my book, I talk about a memo from Mongavan to Motorola saying, with respect to the 1994 report that indicated that cell phone radiation could damage the DNA of the brain of a rat, they said, we think we've adequately, quote, war-gamed quote, the science.
Wow.
Okay. War games have been going on since 1994 when phones were not being widely used at all. And that is what we're dealing with now. This isn't science. This is war games.
Well, let's talk about the suppression of information about this, because people who are concerned about EMFs have been basically characterized as whack jobs. I think, you know, you probably have undergone a lot of professional pushback because, you know, you're a scientist with credentials, but, you know, Dr. Davis has gone off the deep end a little bit, according to, you know, some of your esteemed colleagues, right? You know, they're going to say...
I was at a meeting, right, where I was asked if I'd lost my mind. And I said, have you read the literature? And then I sent this colleague the literature and they apologized to me.
Well, that's great.
More. The thing is, I'm no longer alone. We have a new president to Environmental Health Trust. It's a very distinguished electrical engineer, Kent Chamberlain, professor and chairman emeritus of the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering of the University of New Hampshire. He is the new president. The new vice president for science and clinical affairs is Dr. Robert Brown, a senior diagnostic radiologist with more than 35 years of experience in the field. The new vice president and general counsel formerly owned a major telecom company which was sold to AT&T in 2018. And that's Mr. Joseph Sandry, who is an attorney and has been admitted to many courts, and including the Supreme Court, and is a really very powerful asset to our organization, precisely because he comes from industry.
Right.
The new preface to my book is written by Frank Clegg, the former president of Microsoft Canada.
Which is very credibilizing, you know, that the people from within the industry are, in effect, becoming whistleblowers about the hazards. I just want to also include a discussion about 5G, because 5G seems to be the new hue and cry about the excesses of the industry. And it, I think people need an explanation of what is 5G. And why might it pose a greater hazard than previous iterations of the technology? I presume there was 3G and perhaps 4G. What are we talking about here, and why is that problematic?
We're talking about 60. Okay. 5G is simply faster frequency. Because it's a higher frequency, and it cannot travel as far.
Okay.
Because it cannot travel as far, you need more antennas.
Right.
Now, antennas that are 5G antennas were only 5G, it would be less problematic. But what's happening around Manhattan, thanks to the work of Odette Wilkins.
I see it. Yeah.
People are protesting, and in certain neighborhoods, the 5G antennas are not being accepted. And really, the question is, you could do pretty well without them, except that what 5G really is, a huge marketing device. Because if you have 5G, you need a 5G router, a 5G phone, a 5G computer, a 5G garage door opener, a 5G baby monitor.
It's like planned obsolescence, you know, the next greatest iteration of whatever.
Got it. But the reason for the concern is that the 5G antennas, which can be 30 feet high and right at your apartment door window and your bedroom window, also have the capacity to talk to 4G and sometimes 3G. And the 4G and 3G, they are not appropriate to have right at your bedroom window. There's no way. So that's why it gets more complicated. And the 5G also works with something called beam forming. So it forms a beam that nobody has ever evaluated for its impact on human health or animals or plants. And there's a growing concern about the effects of these things on honeybees and other of the 2,000 pollinators on which agriculture depends. And for that, we have a new component at Environmental Health Trust on wildlife impacts, thanks to a support a grant we received from the Carol Petrie Foundation. We've expanded our work there. We had a meeting at Yale Medical School where we discussed the findings on the impacts on plants and animals from all electromagnetic fields and what the proliferation of 5G could do to wildlife.
So for example, you're in Jackson Hole right now. We discussed it before you jumped on the Zoom call with me, in a beautiful, pristine wilderness. But certainly there are some, you know, little facilities at trailheads there, you know, where you can actually access, you know, your mobile phone. There's a, you know, a 5G or comparable transmitter there. And what you're saying is that when this pushes out into the wilderness, it may have untold effects on the wildlife, because unlike us humans who may be oblivious to it, the creatures, especially insects, are very attuned to some of these frequencies.
The only way you will ever get 5G in the wilderness is if you succeed in having satellite transmission of 5G. And that is a very scary enterprise that Mr. Sandry, our general counsel, and Betsy Lair are working actively to try to block and stop. Right now, there are just a few thousand satellites in lower Earth orbit. A few thousand. They've already had crashes. They've already had dangerous things happening. Space junk is a threat to our astronauts already.
Are we talking Starlink, for example?
We are talking Starlink, exactly. And I want to go back and tell you something about X when we finish this.
Okay, sure.
These things, you can see them in the night sky or the early morning sky coming through, and astronauts are affected. Astronomers are concerned because it's interfering with their ability to see deep into space already. And all of those concerns have been ignored by the arrogance. I think you've heard of somebody named Elon Musk. His arrogance.
Yeah.
He should go to Mars. It would be better for all of them. Let him go to Mars, because his ideas do not take into account the fact that we are humans living on a planet. We only have one planet, and we really can't continue to experiment with it in the way that he is doing right now with Starlink. It is an experiment, and I'm very concerned. It's one thing to make it available in remote areas of Africa and remote areas.
Right, selectively, where there's just because you can't really build out that infrastructure to have these long lines to, that's one of the ways that we can bring certain remote parts of the world into the modern age, right? Because
if it were restricted and made more safe in those areas, but it's not been designed for safety at all. It's not a concern because of the assumption, and because what's been done here by the people that have completely taken over the cartel that is telling us what is scientifically safe.
Well, RFK Jr. seems to have his ear lately, so maybe we can get the word to Elon about the potential downsides of his technology, hopefully. But speaking
that's,
of social media,
one of the things I agree with Bobby Kennedy about.
Yeah. And,
but we are quite separate in our work in that effort. He's done a good job on that point.
Yeah. Because I wanted to talk about social media, because, you know, you would think that this information would be widely disseminated and it would arouse public ire, but I think it's being throttled down on social media.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, let's make sure that this podcast gets as wide a distribution as possible, because we have the potential from the things you've discussed here, I've not discussed with anybody.
Oh,
quite frankly.
And we have an exclusive, right?
You do. And the thing I want to tell you exclusively as well is that X has censored my colleague Joel Moskowitz and won't let him publish his critique of the World Health Organization.
Now, that's really strange, because you can find all manner of scurrilous stuff on X. You can find anti-Semitic stuff, the worst, you know, anti Jewish propaganda from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and on. And you can find racist stuff like that you wouldn't believe because it's supposedly a free speech forum. But what you're saying is possibly because there's a little bit of a conflict of interest and there's a little bit of a an effort to maintain.
What else is it? Come on, what else is it? If I were to criticize Elon Musk, would I be allowed on his platform? I wouldn't waste my breath because it would be taken down, you know, faster than a hound dog on a pork chop.
That's a good one. So what about the other venues, Facebook, Instagram, the typical socials?
I have a confession.
Yep.
I'm a grandmother.
Yep.
I do not spend any time on social media until one of my grandchildren, or only one, actually, because the only one is allowed to be on it, or I hear it from people who work with me who are much younger. So I'm really not able to talk about social media. But in fact, I've said to our team, aren't we being hypocrites because we're trying to use social media to tell people not to be online so much?
Yeah.
Isn't that
It's kind of paradoxical.
And I said, yes, but it's sort of like this. And I don't know if you can see this. Is it at the right?
Pull back a little bit. Yeah, it's to describe it. It's a pic, because for some people, they're just listening to audio. What do we see here?
You see a picture of a woman saying, you love your Wi-Fi, but does your Wi-Fi love you? Or your Wi-Fi does not love you because it's linked to cancer, oxidative stress, brain cell damage, damage to sperm. For safe connections, use corded landlines for phone calls and corded Ethernet cables for internet and corded cables in your studio, Dr. Hoffman, so that you know that that's the only reliable way that we will stay connected.
Yeah, that's going to be a tall order because, as they once said, how are you going to keep them down on the farm once they've seen gay Paris? Americans have been, this technology has been unleashed on Americans. Americans are hooked on the technology. They're hooked on the convenience. They're hooked on the access. They think it's cool. And so to push back on the march of technology is going to be a real challenge. But I think that people can take
back on the march. I just want it.
Does that people can take precautions. Yeah.
We want it to be safer. Mm-hmm. We think things. Here's what I would say to you.
Yeah.
Book talks mostly about what consumers can do. But we're having conversations now with the big operators. They know. They need to compete on safety. Mm-hmm. They know that. And the only thing holding them back are the lawsuits, which they've been very successful getting overturned, except for a few.
No, because one solution is tobacco-style litigation that took down the tobacco industry pretty successfully. I think, maybe the next threshold is to do post-marketing studies that indicate harms and then kind of delve into the repositories of research that they have ignored and concealed because they're sitting on research which says that it's harmful. They've deep-sixed it.
Well, it's worse than that. They may not even be sitting on the research because if you don't know, you can't be accused of not revealing it. But in India, my colleague there, did a 10-year-long study of cell phones and wireless devices. And just as they were getting ready to publish, he got the rug pulled out from under him. So that made it very difficult. Mm-hmm. But we are now trying to get that information again in this meeting that we held at the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Yale Medical School. We heard about that work in India, which does show that people who are long-term users do have fertility problems, do have hearing problems, hearing problems.
For sure. Yeah.
And not surprising, right? And there's a suggestion of neurodegenerative diseases as well, which is a huge problem for all of us. What if cell phones are related to cognitive decline? We
which
see
is
evidence.
So prevalent. Yeah.
In teenagers. We see that those who are heavier users of cell phones have problems with spatial memory. All right. Think about what that means. And that's a study done by some of these ICHNR people, by some of the people that contributed to the WHO study. And in recent years, there have been many, many warnings on this issue. We're not, this book only puts together that they're in one place. But these warnings have been issued by scientists around the world, Belgium, France, Australia, Russia. The guidelines in Russia and China are much more stringent than in the United States. And by the way, in California, in 2017, the state issued guidelines only after a lawsuit was filed by Berkeley Law Clinic that compelled them to issue these guidelines. And those guidelines said exactly what we're saying here today, which again is distance is your friend and be smart with technology and let's get the industry to do its job and compete on safety. We don't differ from rats genomically by 3%. So ignoring the work on rats, as the WHO did, it makes no sense, except that there is obviously a driver here to try to create as much confusion in the public mind. Because remember, the motto of the tobacco industry, doubt is our product. creating doubt
right.
In the mind of the consumer is victory. They don't have to show it's safe. They just have to show that the evidence on harm is questionable, that there's doubt. That's what they do on climate. That's what they did on tobacco. And that's what they're doing on cell phones today.
Yeah, to reiterate the point, absence of evidence is not indication of evidence of absence, right?
Correct.
So,
correct.
Okay, great stuff. Give us again the correct subtitle to your book, because it's entitled Disconnect, but I've got the name of... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Scientists, apostrophe S, Solutions for Safer Technology.
Okay, and that's the updated edition of your previous book,
Absolutely.
Disconnect.
Updated, and every single penny of sales goes to Environmental Health Trust.
Okay, so it's ehtrust.org. What kind of resources will people find there?
They will find safety cards to give away, like this one. Let's see if this is...
So you got a whole bunch of safety cards. We can't see them that well on radio, but we've got a video image. It's an image of a guy wearing, tight jeans with a cell phone tucked in, where basically pretty close to where the sun don't shine, which is not a good place to situate your cell phone.
Right next to the family jewels, right.
Exactly. Was something that I avoid. And, I got to tell you that I got, kids in the family and they got the laptops and they put them on their lap. And I go, no, don't sit with the thing there. Put it on the table.
Give them a pillow. The reason the iPad is called a tablet, it belongs on a table.
Okay.
And it's tested 20 centimeters, 8 inches away from a body. Okay. That's why it's really, there's simple things you can do. Exercise caution with children. Distance is your friend. Use the speakerphone setting whenever possible. Avoid carrying it next to the body, except if it's on airplane mode for short periods of time. Use hardwired devices whenever you can. And keep an eye on your signal strength, by the way, because when the signal is weak, the phone will work harder, spewing out more radiation into you.
Yikes.
So you want to avoid that and avoid making calls. This is a hard one, while traveling in a motor vehicle or in an elevator or a bus. Israelis issued Biden's on that a long time ago.
Parenthetically, I just wanted to add this question because it's occurred to me is EVs, electric vehicles. It's interesting to me because they've got electric motors, and electric motors generate electromagnetic fields. No matter how hard you try, I mean, maybe you could put lead shielding in there. So instead of the car weighing, 2 tons, it would have to weigh 6 tons. That's not practical. So what's your take on EVs, electric vehicles?
A nano layer of a metal might work. That's number one.
Okay.
And maybe Elon Musk was smart enough to figure that out already. I hope so.
Okay. So there
let me just say this.
Ways to mitigate the effects.
Trust,
Yeah.
Right. Environmental Health Trust is raising funds to do a study on exactly that question, because I can assure you it has not been done.
Yeah. That's an important question, because, like, you know, let's say you're pregnant and, you know, you just got a brand new Tesla and you want to take a road trip. Good idea, bad idea. You know, you're basically sitting on a big electric motor.
You're right. It's a magnet, and it's the magnetic field that we're particularly concerned about. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
These are very good questions. And frankly, perhaps you would like to join with us in trying to support this. That's a very important project that we have a group of science fellows ready to dig into it, but it's hard to get the funds for it because the government's not doing the research.
Well, let's put it out there for our listeners, because ehtrust.org is a nonprofit organization that deserves your support. And I'm sure that there are options at ehtrust.org.
And those of you who made a lot of money in the stock market this year can give us appreciated assets and avoid capital gains.
Especially if you've made the money on telecom and on tech. Give back.
Right. I'm looking forward to working with the tech industry when they are continuing and do a better job of competing on safety.
Surely there are some white knights in the industry. They're not all rapacious, capitalists a la, 19th century robber barons.
Oh, you're right. And one of them is Frank Clegg, the former president of Microsoft Canada, who wrote the preface to our book. And another one is Joseph Sandry, our new general counsel, who sold his company Tower Communications to AT&T in 2018. And we have other whistleblowers that are coming to us who are telling us that most rooftop antennas violate the outdated FCC standards. We have the data.
Well, we got to get the word out. Okay, so you're doing a marvelous job campaigning on this issue. Keep up the great work, because this is an important dimension to all the things that are ravaging our environment, and there's so many different threats to our health. This is one that's kind of invisible, often ignored, doesn't receive enough attention, but it's worthy of our consideration. So thanks very much for writing Disconnect and for your work with ehtrust.org. Dr. Devra Davis, it's a pleasure. And I'm gonna hit you up for a recommendation to some of the scientists who are working on evaluating this and coming up with solutions. So
I'll be glad to do that.
We'll do some subsequent podcasts on this important topic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.